Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Summer is upon us, and it's a great time to head down to Walt Disney World. And there are some great specials for summer 2016 with the Awakened Summer offers. Or maybe you're looking ahead a little bit and you want to travel in the fall. There's still some free dining packages out there, as well as something called a back to school savings discount for other packages as well. The bottom line is you can save money on that upcoming Disney vacation for the rest of 2016 for most dates and most resorts. What I want you to do is drop by themagicforless.com today, check out all of the great specials, then fill out that free, no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many of his meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Drums, please.
Welcome to episode 1020 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you and welcome to the unofficial start of summer. It is Friday. It is Memorial Day weekend. And it is time to get out there and grill and have a great time with friends and family. We're kicking it off here with a great episode of the Be Our Guest Podcast to get you in the mood. And we have a special guest today. It's going to be a lot of fun. So joining me, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And apparently the birds are chasing her around today. What is going on, Ricky? Happy summer 2016.
Happy summer 2016. I am so excited because I'm in Walt Disney World. Hooray! I'm checking out everything, that's debuting this weekend, checking out Disney Springs. So I'm super excited to be down there this weekend. Super stoked. So if you're not following along, make sure to follow along on Twitter, on Instagram, all those places, Facebook on the Be Our Guest Podcast Facebook group, because there's going to be a lot of tweeting and such going on. So lots of pictures, lots of live videos on Facebook, lots of everything. So make sure you're following along.
Now, what's the place that you mentioned you were so excited for in Disney Springs with the crepes? Was it, what's it called?
Aristocrepes.
Aristocrepes, yes.
Yes, I can't wait. Hello, they have a s'mores crepe. I mean, s'mores is my favorite. So I'm pretty darn excited about trying this, but I mean, there's a lot of other things down in Disney Springs that I'm super stoked to try too. So, I mean, I don't know. My brain is just going to pretty much explode from food. Actually, it should be my stomach is going to explode from eating so much food. So,
well, you know, it's the trifecta. It's your brain, it's your stomach, and it's your wallet. All three are going to explode.
It's true. All three are definitely going to explode. That's especially with some of the pricing on some of the things at Disney Springs food, but that is, that's beside the point.
So. Just get the large fries over at Deluxe Burger, and I think take
$8. $8, man.
That's what I heard.
No, but I can share those with Brian. So it's not like I'm eating those all by myself for $8. That's like a split fry for the two of us. So I can kind of get away with that a little bit better, but like mentally. So I don't know.
All right. Also joining us, you've heard him, and he is a legend here in the Disney community from the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World and the unofficial guide Disney Dish podcast featuring Jim Hill. We have Mr. Len Testa. Welcome back to the show, Len.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Hey, Ricky.
Hey.
When are you going down this weekend?
Yes. Well, yeah, Memorial Day weekend. Yes, yes.
Okay. Text me. I might be there.
Okay.
Well, and you know how this works. These shows are always live. You know, we never record things ahead of time.
We never record ahead of time. No.
No. I might be there. We'll see.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So we thought we'd bring Len on here because the 27 unofficial guide is, they're putting the wraps on and getting ready to get out there for everybody to grab and plan those great vacations. So, Len, I thought today we might spend some time going over those reader surveys because I've always found the shows that you've done over the past, bunch of years, when you talk about the reader surveys, I glean a lot of information from that because that's coming from people who are there paying their money and having real life experiences. So can we do that today? Does it sound good?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's actually one of my favorite shows to do, too.
All right. Well, let's start with the hotels. You know, I know that you guys do all kinds of, the theme parks, the hotels, the restaurants. But let's talk hotels. Anything surprise you with the reader surveys this time around?
So there are actually a couple of things. But before we get started, Mike, I want to give you guys some sense of how many surveys we got last year. Starting in late 2014, we started sending out emails and reminders to anyone who had used touringplans.com. to fill out a reader survey. And as you guys know, it's a big site, but just to put that in perspective, we got almost 100,000 dining surveys this year, many, many tens of thousands of hotel surveys and attraction surveys.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, wow. Just for Be Our Guest alone, we got more than 3,000 survey responses.
People are excited about Be Our Guest, I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was by far the number one. But just to give you some sort of perspective on this, we actually have enough surveys to rate the difference in food quality of the individual ice cream carts in Frontierland if we needed to. that's how big it is.
But that's necessary. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Some could be better, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So yes, actually, the churro cart in Frontierland is the best churro cart in the Magic Kingdom, apparently.
That's where I'm going to stop for my churros.
That's what I'm saying.
Shout out to you, churro people over in Frontierland. Yeah. So here's. Let's start with resorts. Now, the interesting thing about resorts, whenever we do a survey, one of the things that we have found is that no matter how we ask the question about how happy you are, in their heads, people will always put the words "for the money I paid" at the end of every question I asked. So, hey, how was your hotel room? It was great, comma, for the money I paid, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. And what we noticed was during the recession, so 2008 to like 2011, people did not rate Disney's hotel rooms any better than they rated the average offsite hotel. But then as we saw the recovery happen and unemployment rates go down in the United States, Disney's rooms got a little bit better. And to be sure, Disney's upgrading their rooms as well. Whereas offsite places may have had a little bit more problems. But here's the interesting thing, a couple of things. One, the DVUC resorts do fantastically better than almost any other kind of property in Walt Disney World. In fact, we actually break out the survey results this year in a unique way. We asked people where they typically stay at when they're not staying at Walt Disney World. Like, do you typically stay at a Motel 6? Do you typically stay at a Marriott? Do you typically stay at a Four Seasons? And then we asked them where they stayed in Walt Disney World. Do they stay at a Value, at a Moderate, Deluxe, or DVC? And no matter where you typically stay outside of Walt Disney World, you are happiest at a DVC resort and you are next happiest at a Deluxe. And that's kind of amazing.
It makes sense to me. Obviously, they're the nicest hotel rooms and have the best amenities. But when you mention, I'm sitting here kind of scratching my head because you mentioned how people quantify it with "for the money." I would think that would be something that would be working against Disney because everybody's always saying the prices are too high.
And that's the thing. It's consistent across every brand in every category. So if you stayed at a Motel 6 or you stayed at a Super 8 or you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, you are happiest by far at a DVC or a Deluxe property. And actually you're least happy at a Moderate, which we'll get to in a second. But it's true for people who stay at budget hotels outside of Walt Disney World. It's true if they stay at Moderates, and it's true if they stay at Deluxes outside of Walt Disney World as well. DVCs are the most popular. In fact, the highest rated hotel in our hotel survey this year was, I guess we'll take a guess. Highest rated hotel in Walt Disney World.
I was going to say the Grand Floridian.
Grand Floridian Villas, actually, the highest.
I stayed there. I can understand.
I can't believe you stayed there.
I can too. Totally, can't you? I mean, it's like passing a kidney stone in terms of cost.
Absolutely. Hey, I didn't have to pay for it. I luckily was saying that to a listener, but I still got to stay there and experience it. So I can, yes, it. I'm sure it probably did cost a small kidney stone, but yeah.
Very expensive. In fact, it's the only hotel that was rated, given an overall rating of A by our readers. But the other hotels that do well, Wilderness Lodge and Villas, all the DVC properties tend to do very well. If you just want to take a guess at which property didn't do well, I'll give you a hint. It's a value.
All-Star Sports.
All-Star Sports.
Close.
Music.
I'll give you one more.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Remember, music is music. Yeah, remember, Ricky, music's the most romantic of all the values.
Of course it's true. Most romantic. True. All right. Well, so movies.
Movies. So on a scale of 0 to 100, the Grand Floridian got a 90. All-Star Movies got a 78. And our readers tend to be fairly generous when they're rating Disney World hotels. A 78 is essentially what a Roadway Inn on 192 is rated by our guests. That tells you where they're at with the movie resorts. The thing that they didn't do well on, they did particularly poorly in on-site food and room quality.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can kind of see those two things too. Couple of other interesting points. The new DVC villas at the Polynesian and at the bungalows were our exception. They did not get rated highly. And again, I think this comes down to just to price. The fact that they are so expensive means that people are expecting to have their socks knocked off, and they are not.
Well, I mean, you know, given from your experience there at the, you know, the bungalows, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah.
The other interesting thing, and this was actually so interesting that we actually sent out an email to our travel agent partners, the people who ask us for advice all the time. And that's this. The Caribbean Beach Resort was so poorly rated by virtually every category of guests that we found that we actually now put a warning in the unofficial guide in 2017. We're actually telling people, don't stay here. And I'm trying to figure out why. So if you look at the survey results, it gets poor ratings across the board in things like transportation, food court, and room quality. It does actually do fairly well in staff, so in guest satisfaction, and the people who work there. But in terms of anything having to do with the actual room or the actual buildings itself, it does poorly. In fact, it drags down the entire moderate segment. So remember I said that in our survey results, no matter where you stay outside of Walt Disney World, you are happiest at a deluxe or DVC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You are least happy at a moderate, and you are least happy if you stay at the Caribbean Beach.
I don't know. I can see that because, okay, so Brian and I have never stayed there, but we visited one time, and just in the visit, out of all the moderates, because we visited all of them, that's the one that he is the least interested in staying in. He says it just doesn't feel it doesn't feel very nice to him. So, and the food court didn't really appeal to me either, because we stopped to try to eat something and there was like literally nothing that I saw in the food court that I was like, yes, I have to have that. So I can kind of understand the reader's opinion, because it really isn't that highly rated to me either. I would rather stay at either Port Orleans or Coronado. So I understand.
Yeah. See, Caribbean Beach was the first moderate that I ever stayed at. It has those old fashioned air conditioners.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Air conditioners. I kind of like those because I like white noise when I sleep.
I like it too. And you can make those things like meat locker cold usually too.
Oh, I know, right? Just throw a body in the room. Not that you should do that, by the way. No. Definitely not do that. That's not right.
Len is not condoning storing any bodies in any rooms.
If you do though, go to the pirate rooms. Nobody gets that far out at Caribbean Beach.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean the housekeeping doesn't go. Yeah, but that was interesting in terms of hotels. So stay at a deluxe or a DVC resort. Don't stay at Caribbean Beach and don't stay at All-Star Movies. That's what it came down to.
That does kind of shock me, though, about the moderates as a whole, because that's kind of the sweet spot our family's finding. You know, we don't usually go deluxe because we're busy. A lot of times we're down there for race weekends, stuff like that. And it seems like, too, you know, with part of the season being free dining, a lot of people consider the moderates because you get it, you know, you get the full dining plan on the free dining. And there's not many rooms anymore, unfortunately. But, you know, if you got free dining at a moderate, you're getting the full Disney dining plan where the values, you have to upgrade to get that. I don't know. I mean, that's really interesting to me, though, that it turns out that way, because, you know, I think of maybe it is Caribbean Beach pulling it down, but like Riverside and French Quarter are beautiful, and I think they're pretty well thought of. And Coronado Springs, I'm a huge fan of that, but I think it's kind of an underdog. People don't think of that too much.
I think it's the thing with Coronado Springs is it gets a lot of convention traffic, and depending on when you're there, especially when you're trying to eat, sometimes the restaurants can be overwhelmed by convention traffic. And I think, you know, Maya Grill is kind of hit or miss sometimes.
Oh, don't say that. Michael, come over there and get you.
That's my favorite restaurant.
No one loves the team that runs Maya Grill more than I love the team that runs Maya Grill. I am telling you, it's sometimes inconsistent.
Mike might agree with the inconsistent part as far as paying the bill.
It's the one waiter that I get every time I'm there that doesn't know how to run a credit card. But, you know, it gets canceled out by the guy playing the smooth jazz live in the restaurant. I mean, you can't beat that. That guy's live. He's playing.
Swarm with Mike Roman.
It's awesome. I'm like, that guy's really playing that. That's unbelievable. So anywhere that has fajitas and margarita flights, I'm in. So I can't argue. So let's kind of shift gears here and talk Disney Springs. Now, of course, right now we're coming into the good old days. You know, finally stuff's coming online, but man, the walls have been up forever. So what did the readers have to say about, you know, the downtown Disney/Disney Springs conversion zone there for a while?
I will bring this up for you now. The interesting thing that we noticed in the survey results is this. All of the new places did very, very well. All of the old places did terribly. In fact, I did a podcast with Jim Hill back at the beginning of the year. And one of the things that that I had noted was that Fulton's had pretty much tanked in terms of survey responses. And I said I wouldn't be surprised if that Wolfgang Puck, Planet Hollywood, and Bongos all went through major refurbishments sometime in 2016. Because, I mean, at this point, the real estate that they're on is probably worth more than the restaurants themselves. In fact, two of those refurbishments have already been reannounced. You've seen that Planet Hollywood is going through a major refurbishment. Fulton's is being reimagined as Paddlefish. I don't know how that's all going to work, being so close to the boathouse.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, yeah, they're going to serve the same exact food, pretty much, for the most part. I love the boathouse. And maybe, I guess, if you can't get in the boathouse, you'd be like, okay, they serve the same food over at Paddlefish. Let's just go over there. I don't know, but
yeah.
I've been to Fulton's as well, and I have to say that was one of the worst meals that I've had on Disney property. So, and the most expensive meals too. Like, it was like reheated, refrigerated, you know, seafood, and then it was like, you know, $25 for my fried fish dish, and I was like, no thank you. I will not be coming back. So, yeah. I don't see how they're going to make it, even with, you know, the boathouse right next door. So we'll see.
And that's my big thing. And the thing is there that what we've heard is that those restaurants that have been there a while simply don't have the modern kitchens that allow the fresh, rapidly prepared food to be done. Whereas, you know, if you're a Raglan Road, which gets very high ratings, if you're a boathouse, if you're an SDK, which is coming up, these are all modern restaurants with modern kitchens. They can crank stuff out at a high quality, a Morimoto, by the way, at a pace that can satisfy several hundred patrons per evening. And the old places just can't. But you think about how much real estate Bongos is on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, Disney's got to look at that and say, you know, for the satisfaction that we're getting and for the size of the bill that we're getting, we can do better. So I've heard, you know, unofficially that some of those places have ultimatums, and it's either, you know, announce your plans to refurbish by the end of the summer, you know, in other words, get started by the end of the summer, or you don't need to come back in 2017. So we'll see.
Yikes.
But let's go through some of the highest rated places. You guys been to the Ghirardelli Soda Fountain, which is just ice cream?
Oh, yeah, many times, way back in, yeah, we go there a lot, yeah.
97% satisfaction on almost 700 reviews. You cannot go wrong, apparently, with ice cream. In terms of actual food, the Wolfgang Puck Express Marketplace, 95% thumbs up. The Starbucks, which you would think, pretty good, 94%. Earl Sandwich, 94%. Mm-hmm. Splitsville, actually, 91%. Have you guys eaten there?
Yes. Yeah,
Did I eat there? Yes, I think I did eat there. I know I bowled there, but I don't know.
It's funny. I've only eaten there. I never bowled.
That's it,
you're doing it wrong, Ricky. You bowl back in Atlanta and you eat at Splitsville.
I'm sorry. I'm doing it completely wrong. Yes.
The Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, have you guys been there? 91% thumbs up.
That place, Len, now tell me, is that place not just like Trader Sam's, but just with a different theme? I love those smaller venues that have so many details. And I'm telling you what, I was down there for a media event in April, and they gave us a couple of drink coupons. Those drinks were good. And I'm not a big drinker.
I like some of their menu. I think when I was there, it was like the first month it was open. The menu was sort of hit and miss. Some of the things I thought, like the flatbreads, were very, very good. I didn't think much of the pretzels. I did like the wings. But I think over time, Disney will evolve that menu fairly quickly to get the right mix of high quality ingredients on that. Again, the real estate is so valuable there that they have to do it. Other places...
I was going to say that makes sense, too. You know, I mean, it's kind of like what's going on over at Skipper Canteen. You know, that's such valuable real estate, but if it's not packing people in, then they've got to make a change. Which, you know, I know that a lot of people are upset about them potentially making a change there. But, you know, if you're just not appealing to people, I mean, it's you've got to. It's just how it works. So
we'll talk about the Magic Kingdom in a bit. I really like Skipper Canteen, though. But the menu, the food is kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. For like, especially since they didn't have a lunch and a dinner menu, essentially you got it's hard to eat a steak and then go out and ride rides, or you just want to go back and go to bed.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's a great idea to eat a steak and then go ride Splash Mountain. Is that just me?
I don't know, maybe so. All right, so a couple of places they did that with some ratings: Morimoto Asia, a couple hundred survey results, 86% thumbs up. That's pretty much average, which is mildly surprising because I really like Morimoto Asia.
I did too. I was there too. I mean, just for one thing, you have, you know, the big kind of like a show kitchen. You have the two stories. It's beautiful with those lighting fixtures that they have hanging down, and the food's great. And also, you know, underrated, they have that outdoor deck area that now overlooks the town center, I believe it's called.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the bottom of the barrel here. The places that don't do particularly well at Disney Springs. And let me give you some context here. Generally speaking, the average restaurant rating at Walt Disney World is somewhere between 82 and 84 on a scale of 100. So a solid B. So readers like their Disney restaurants, right? Generally, anything below 80 is a place that you would not recommend because it's far below average. Bongo's comes in at a 72. Portobello at 70. Bongo's at 67, and bringing up the rear, Planet Hollywood at a solid D, 65.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're gonna be making a change clearly with the new observatory, so they better step up their menu a lot.
This tells you sort of what the stakes are, right? Because if you're a relatively new restaurant, I mean, Morimoto's is the lowest rated of the new restaurants, and it's at 86. But most of the places like Boathouse are in the low 90s, and Raglan Road's in the low 90s. You know, so essentially what these guys have to do is take a quarter or half of the people that are coming to their restaurants and make them much happier than they are. And that's a huge hurdle for them to overcome. We're not talking about, hey, you need to make, you know, two or three people out of 100 happier. You're talking about literally every other person that comes into T-Rex or every other person that goes into Bongo's and making them happier. And when you're screwing up at that level, you can't do it. You just don't know how, right? You don't have the management, you don't have the techniques, you don't have the kitchen to do it. It is a huge, huge undertaking, and it sort of expresses how big of a problem that is for them.
Well, too, and you don't have that wow factor. Like if you walk into Morimoto's for the very first time, you're like, whoa, you know, this is something new. This is something to see. But most, you know, Walt Disney World has a lot of first time travelers, but you got to realize a lot of those folks going into T-Rex have been there before or at a Rainforest Cafe back in their hometown. Yeah. So that's going to be even harder for them in that aspect.
Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, just a huge hurdle there. You know, and you actually have to have an executive chef team, too, that knows how to face those challenges. And I'm not sure that those places actually do. I think the writing's on the wall for most of these places, that if they last through 2016, I'll be shocked. Hmm. So let's talk about the Magic Kingdom, because you mentioned Skipper Canteen.
Yes.
So a couple of, and then we can talk about attractions, or we can keep going and talk about dining, whatever you guys want to do. So over the past year, I actually haven't looked at these results in a couple of months, but since then, in the past 12 months, we've got now almost 4,000 reviews from Be Our Guest. 90% thumbs up on that. That is pretty solid. Other places that do really well, and I think you guys have all eaten there, Columbia Harbor House.
One of my favorites.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Aloha Isle Refreshments at 98%. Granted, it's a relatively small place, but still, 98% on 2,400 reviews is nothing to shake a stick at.
When you sell the most famous thing, though, I mean, it's pretty hard to screw that up, just saying. It's true.
Crystal Palace, 90%. Gaston's Tavern, 91%.
That surprises me because they changed their menu recently. So I would think that if it was such a high success rate with guests, that the menu wouldn't have changed because the pork shank was there for so long. And of course, you've got the cinnamon roll and, you know, LeFou's brew. But I'm surprised that the menu changed then if it has that high of a satisfaction rating.
It does. Other places that do well, Sleepy Hollow Refreshments. So this is the waffle cones and ice cream, right?
Again, changed the menu, though. Took off the chicken and the spicy chicken waffle that I loved.
That was actually my favorite thing there.
Me too. That was one of my favorite things in the whole Magic Kingdom. Gone. Yeah.
Also, the Liberty Tree Tavern, since it's been reopened, we've got 800 reviews from it. 91% thumbs up. That's actually way better than it used to be.
I'll have to head back there then.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Okay, so let's talk about the bottom of the barrel. Places that we've got a lot of visits on. You guys want to guess the lowest rated sit-down restaurant in the Magic Kingdom?
I made an ADR for this place just last week. I bet it's Tony's.
Yeah.
Why did you make an ADR for Tony's?
My wife loves this place. And you know what? The wife's happy. Happy wife, happy life.
There
are so
many good Italian restaurants in St. Louis, and she wants to eat at Tony's? Yeah. Oh, God, no.
You know, Scarlett Litton, who used to work for us, and I love Scarlett to death, she actually has this theory that you can find something good on every menu. And
not there.
So she actually goes off menu there, and I think she orders, instead of chicken parmesan, chicken with Alfredo sauce, which I don't believe is on the menu, but they'll make it for you, and she says it's actually the best thing there. So if you want to try that, Mike, when you're there next week.
I'm there, man. I'll tell you, give me the Scarlett.
There you go. So a couple of other places that sort of are below average. Again, these are like in the low 80s. Cosmic Rays, Starlight Cafe. I can kind of see that. I think the thing that screws people up there, the people that don't like, is the fact that there are three different ordering stations.
Yep.
You can't order anything. I think that drags it down. And then Pinocchio Village House, which Laurel's advice is always don't eat in Fantasyland. I guess Be Our Guest is an exception to that. But in general, don't eat fast food in Fantasyland. Might be the way to go there. So pretty much everything else is somewhere in the middle. The interesting thing for me is Cinderella's Royal Table is at 84% when Be Our Guest is at 90 or 91%. Cinderella's Royal Table is definitely much more expensive and much more difficult to get. And I don't know if that factors into that rating somehow, but it might.
See,
also,
Biggest
Bill's new menu, mid-80s.
You know what? That's good. I have a theory on that, especially with Be Our Guest and Cinderella's Royal Table. Didn't mean to interrupt there, but here's what I think happens with that. I think people work so hard for their ADRs for those places that they're skewing their survey results higher because they feel like they've worked. You know, they're invested in that ADR. Maybe it could work the other way. They're like, Ricky, what are you doing? That's all right.
Did Laurel fall? Is she okay?
She's making mixed drinks. There's
a tell her to send in this.
It's watermelon and gin? Vodka.
All right. No, but I mean,
times are about to be.
That's funny. So do you think, I mean, that could have anything to do with it? The scarcity of the ADRs affecting what people put down on a survey?
I mean, it could. I think it's also the expense of it. When you look at, but I think a lot of it is the quality of food. Nobody goes to Cinderella's Royal Table for the quality of food, whereas there are actually a number of dishes that I quite like at Be Our Guest, and I could say that people, you know, could like the food there. I really like their deconstructed tuna niçoise salad, which is the tuna, the potatoes, the green beans, and the egg. And they do it, and you know, it's a nice setting. It is relatively easier to get into than Cinderella's Royal Table, and again, it's a lot less expensive. So Cinderella's Royal Table now is what, $75 per adult?
That is just crazy.
If for family four, you're looking at $250 or $300, dude, it's Cinderella herself better be cooking for that.
But that's why I'm shocked that Crystal Palace comes out so high, because again, that's one of those I can't. I can't do it. I mean, if you're on the Disney dining plan, okay, it's a good value. But if I'm not, I cannot get that bill, even with Tables in Wonderland.
It is. I mean, for as far as the buffet goes, especially in the Magic Kingdom, it's on the lower price side. But, you know, they did switch to that all-day dinner menu now. Dinner starts at 11:30. But you've got Winnie the Pooh. Who doesn't love Winnie the Pooh? So
absolutely.
Let's talk about Epcot for a little bit. Speaking of food, because Epcot these days is becoming the world's largest food court. So you guys want to take a guess at what the highest rated counter service restaurant is in?
Oh, counter service is definitely Sunshine Seasons.
No, it'll be World Showcase.
No?
No, I think it's...
Oh, man.
Let's see. Is it Tangerine Cafe?
It's up there, but that's not it.
I've never been there, but I'm going to go there this summer.
They're open for breakfast. I'll give you that.
The French Bakery. The French Bakery. I can't pronounce French, so I'm not going to even try.
Boulangerie Patisserie.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, so almost 1,100 survey results, 96% thumbs up. I really like this place. Have you guys eaten there?
I've eaten there a couple times, yeah. I've actually had their soup before, which is really good. Not a good option if it's, 100 degrees in the middle of July, but it's really good in, November when it's cold out. I really enjoy that. It was really good. And I hear that they have really good, sandwiches that are actually really cheap, too.
This is
ham and cheese.
Yeah. My favorite thing there is the sandwiches. When I've been to Paris a few times, every time I go, I buy a sandwich just like the ones they sell there. And you walk around eating the sandwich, looking at the sights of Paris. It is the quintessential Parisian street experience. It is exactly like that in Epcot. I mean, they literally could not do any better on that. It is as French as it gets. And it's at the same price. It's around $4 for a sandwich. A couple places that do really well, the Rose and Crown. 96. Mm-hmm. My favorite, La Cava del Tequila, 96% thumbs up. Kringla Bakery and Cafe in Norway, 95% thumbs up. Have you guys eaten there recently?
I'm going to be one of the weirdos. I don't like school bread.
I don't either. I don't like school bread, but I like school bread either. Yeah, okay. None of us. Yeah, there we go.
I actually cannot stand school bread. So, yeah.
It's just a little off, right? There's something about it. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's not very good, but everybody else seems to lose their stuff over it. So I just have to go, okay.
We're the three that don't like it right here. We've come together. We're the only three.
Hey, yeah, consider a place like that 95% thumbs up. We are literally the 3 in 100, maybe.
Right.
Because exactly. A couple of people listening going, yeah, I don't like it either. You guys have been to the ice cream place in France, L'Artisan de Glaces?
Yes, they have the most amazing apple pie version of ice cream ever. Holy cow.
Is it not? I know. It's fantastic. So 95% thumbs up. Can't go wrong there. Club Cool actually is, I realize it's more of a pavilion or an attraction than an actual place. 94% thumbs up. Just to put that in context, it's higher rated than any World Showcase pavilion.
What? See, something's wrong there. All people do in there, you go in, you take a swig of Beverly and gag and walk out. I mean, that's basically what that place is there
Kids
for.
Kids love it. lots of places where World Showcase do very well. The Fish and Chips place at the UK, 93%. Sunshine Seasons back in Future World, 93%. The Japanese sake bar, have you guys been there in the very back of the department store?
I've seen it. Yes, never been there. But it's like this tiny little... Like just a bar, like one little bar, right? Yeah, it's like a table. Yeah.
That does well. Teppanito, 91%. Via Napoli. In fact, everyone in Italy is pretty much in the 90% top. The places that don't tend to not do well in, you guys want to take a guess what doesn't do well?
Nine Dragons.
Electric Umbrella.
Lotus Blossom Cafe is actually the lowest rated counter service.
See, I've actually been there and didn't think it was that bad. So I don't like school bread, but liked Lotus Blossom. What is wrong with me?
Nine Dragons at 78%. Coral Reef, 77%, which is kind of funny because so I've been there, I guess it's about 3 years ago now. And it was a perfectly acceptable lunch. It wasn't a wow or anything like that. 77% seems a little low. That's on almost 900 surveys. You're right. Electric Umbrella was at 80%. Here's the one that surprised me. Have you guys been to Monsieur Paul?
Have not.
No.
Nope.
Super expensive French food. 80% thumbs up, which is not very good on about 100 surveys on there. It was actually so low. It had dropped by like, I think last year, readers rated it in the mid 90s.
Ooh.
Sure, it was in the 80s. It actually dropped so much. We went back and had to re-review it twice, to make sure.
Wow.
On it. We'll have results on that pretty soon. Spice Road Table, not doing well. No. Restaurant Marrakesh, not doing well. I actually like Restaurant Marrakesh. I think Spice Road is vastly... I don't think it's overpriced. Have you guys eaten there?
I have. Actually wrote about it on Touring Plans.
I may have missed that one. It's the service is glacial.
Yes. I ate there when it first, like right when it first opened, so it might be why you don't remember. But, I didn't think the food was that great, although it was still the small tapas plates at the time and not the, now they're serving more full-size dinner portions. So I think that that's a nice addition, at least for that. But I personally don't think that the view is very good for Illuminations either. So, I mean.
Beautiful windows, though, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not one of my favorite places. They're kind of in a rough spot though because they're the third restaurant in Morocco, and the first two places sort of had the pick of the Mediterranean cuisine. So now they're left with the things that aren't served in the other menus. That's kind of tough.
All right, so Len, this is really interesting stuff, especially the stuff with the restaurants, because that is, I do help guests book vacations from time to time, and I know that one of the biggest stress points for guests is deciding where they're going to eat in 180 days out, and they're making the reservations, and this information is really, I think, going to be important to our listeners to kind of see where other people are finding, experiences that they're really enjoying and experiences maybe that they think were overrated. So, as we close out today's show here and turn everybody loose for a great Memorial Day weekend, any other surprises, that you have seen just in general with these surveys to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I think it's all been fairly consistent from year to year. There are only a handful of places, and we went through most of them at Disney Springs and Epcot, where they've really gone up or down. But I would say definitely you want to look at the places that are rated very highly, and again, mid-80s or up, because anything that's like rated 80 or lower, you can really find a much better option somewhere else. When you're sending guests to Walt Disney World, it's expensive. You want to make sure that you get the best value for your money, and that's what these surveys do.
And we appreciate that so much. Everybody out here, I'm sure, has picked up the guide, almost every year. Every year. I know I have a collection of them here right above my head. So give us, and I don't want them to fall down on me, but give us the status of the 2017 guide, Len, and tell people where they can catch everything you do.
So the 2017 unofficial guide to Walt Disney World should be out in August. My suggestion is to pick it up on Kindle if you can, because we're actually updating it once a month.
Wow.
Starting in 2017. So as new restaurants open, as reviews come in, we'll constantly update that content again about every month or so. As for me, you can find me at touringplans.com and on my podcast, the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill.
All right, loving the show. You guys do really good stuff.
I'm so addicted to that show. I have to tell you, every time it comes on, even my husband, he's like, okay, is there a new unofficial guide show? Because I'm ready for it.
So while you're down there, Ricky, Jim and I are actually in Walt Disney World together recording some special shows in Epcot. So look for us
awesome.
There.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Ricky, I expect you just to jump out from behind some kind of a bush and make a noise so we can be like, hey,
absolutely.
That was
Ricky. 100%.
That's it. That's Ricky.
Not weird at all. No.
Well, Len, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for everything you do for the Disney community, and have a safe trip and have a good time down there, and tell Jim we said hello.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Ricky.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. The next time you're headed to a Disney destination, drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials and then fill out that free no obligation quote. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, today's episode proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameripriseadvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. Facebook is at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And remember, you can always check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Google Play Podcast Store. All right, we're going to turn you loose. Let's get going with your summer. So it's 2016 summertime right now. So have a great time this weekend. Spend some time with friends and family. Again, thanks to Len for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed today's unofficial guide. Listener surveys, always so much to glean from those. So for Ricky, Pam, and Len, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.